I want to look at Acts. Since we're dealing with the issue, I think it's becoming more of an issue of whether or not you can, women can speak or not speak in a building. I think, first of all, maybe our understanding of what church is, I think maybe we're differing on that point. Because in the New Testament church, before they even had buildings, the saints or the Christians met from house to house. And I'm having trouble understanding why wouldn't that be the church? Christ is supposed to be in us. We are the temple of the living God. So I can't say that just because I'm not in a building that has the church on it, that I'm not representing the church, or that we're not. The Bible says where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. So I'm looking at this word, you know, if we're talking about a building, well, a building doesn't necessarily mean anything to God. It's the people that mean something to God. We constitute the church. We are the church of the living God. We are the believers who have been baptized into the body of Christ. So we make up the church. And wherever I am and wherever you are, we constitute the church. Now, that's my understanding of the church. Now, in the New Testament, when the church was being formed, the people went from house to house and they met there and they broke bread together and they expounded the scriptures. And if they weren't having church, if they weren't worshiping God, if that wasn't considered church, then I really don't know what is being considered church. Is church just a building? I think maybe we need to clarify that point. Maybe that's the point that we're disagreeing on. If church is just a building, then, you know, that's, I'm saying that as people who are born-again believers, we constitute the church of the living God. In the book of Acts, when the church met house to house, they went from house to house and they began breaking bread in the temple. And I was particularly looking at scripture here when Ananias and Sapphira lied to the Holy Ghost, lied to Peter, and Peter asked them questions. If that's not considered the church, Acts is supposed to be the record of the formation of the church. These apostles, Peter, James, and John, they are God's representatives of the church. Here they are speaking to a woman, asking a woman questions, and she is responding and replying. That is found all throughout Scripture. There's nowhere where it says that you're going to hell if you're a woman and you're speaking in the church. The Bible does not teach that. The Bible is clearly teaching, and I was listening to my opponent, and he was trying to make an issue out of that word servant, but he was not using the same word that I was using. That's why I said that in Romans chapter 16, verse 1, the scripture was saying that I commend you unto Phoebe. Now, if the Apostle Paul were so against women, and this is the Apostle Paul talking, if he is so much against women preachers preaching in the church, then what he was doing in the New Testament is he's establishing churches, and he's saying to the congregations, help the women who have labored with me in the gospel, not who labored with me in serving tables, not who labored with me in sweeping the floor, not who labored with me in changing babies in the nursery, not who labored with me in the Sunday school class teaching only children. He said, assist those women who worked with me in the gospel. These are women who were preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ with Paul. When we talked about Aquila and Priscilla, the husband and wife team, they took Apollos. I made that statement. And the scripture says that Paul greeted the church that was in their house. When they took Apollos, they took him to their house and they expounded, both of them, the woman and the man, they expounded unto Apollos the scriptures from the book. And they showed unto him, the Bible says, a more excellent way. We cannot take scripture out of context. And when you look at these scriptures, particularly in 1 Corinthians 14 and 34, you check with theologians, you read your Bible, you study your Bible, the scriptures, you have to apply the hermeneutics. You have to read what goes before and after the scripture. Now, my opponent said that when I brought up the scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, that nowhere is it talking about women just speaking, or that wasn't the situation that was going on. But if you look at it plainly, I'm going to read it again, because apparently we're missing something here. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, in the 35th verse says, "And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for the women to speak in the church." He's trying to say that Paul is talking about preaching or teaching in the congregation. It doesn't say that anywhere in this text. It doesn't say at all that they were preaching or teaching. But the scriptures do lend itself to the fact that there was confusion going on. Let me point that out to you. And this entire chapter has to do with order. My opponent said if he wanted to say that women should just not create a disturbance and not interrupt, he would have said that. Why did he address the women? Well, he addressed the women because it was the women who were causing the disturbance at that particular time. Just as previously in the chapter, when he was dealing with the speaking in tongues, he set that in order. When he was talking to the men, he set that in order. And then he comes down to this final verse here, where we're dealing with today. He deals with the prophets, and he deals with that. And then he deals with the spirit of the prophets, being subject to the prophets. He says, "For God is not the author of confusion." Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. He is dealing with order here. He is dealing with order in the church. God is not a God of confusion. He is not talking about women preachers and women teaching in the church. Paul told Timothy, he said, "Your mother Lois and your grandmother taught you well. Remember what they taught you." Now, Timothy is a boy, but he's going to grow up to be a man. How can that be consistent with Scripture? I can teach you outside of the church, and when we're together, whether we're inside a church building or not, you and I constitute the church. We are the church. Jesus didn't die for a building. He died for you and me. He didn't die for mortar and brick. He died for our flesh. He died to redeem our spirits. So how can I say that it is okay for me to preach and teach to you outside of the church building, but once we get inside brick and stone, I cannot teach or preach to you? That is not a consistent train of thought with the Pauline epistles. And when you look at that, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, he's dealing with order. He deals with the speaking in tongues. He deals with the prophets being out of order. And then he talks about the confusion. And then he says, and then now I want the women also to be in order, because God is a God of order. So this is what he's dealing with. And if you're saying that it's okay for women to preach and to teach and to minister anywhere else, but except inside brick and mortar, and Jesus didn't die for brick and mortar, then it seems to be some disillusionment or something there, that we're not getting this correctly according to the scriptures. So he says here, he says, if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home. That shows right there what the problem is. It was a problem of them repeatedly asking questions, causing a disturbance. If you read that chapter and other chapters like it, you will see that it is about disturbance. It's not about whether or not women have the right to minister the word of God. The Bible says that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is freedom. My opponent also said, he talked about man being created before woman, and that God made man the head. There is no argument with that, that the husband is the head of the wife. And the scripture says that women are supposed to respect their own husbands. That doesn't mean according to scripture, that every Tom, Dick, and Harry that comes up to a woman and says, I don't like the length of your dress, pull it down, that I have to fall on my knees and honor him, I'm supposed to honor my husband, that's not even consistent with common sense. It's not scripturally consistent at all with the Word of God. And so when we look at what my opponent is saying, that the women should be subject to every man, every woman has to be subject to every man, whether he's a murderer or rapist or anything like that. No. He's saying, even in the scriptures, the Bible says that women should obey their husbands as unto the Lord, that they should honor their own husbands. That's what God is dealing with. He is dealing with that. If you remember in the Old Testament when the daughters of Zelophehad came to Moses, because it was a custom and a tradition that the women were not privy to the inheritance of their fathers. If a man died and he had no sons, then the inheritance could not pass on to his daughters, no matter how many daughters he had. And so when the daughters of Zelophehad came to Moses, they said, this is not right. We have to challenge this because this is not right. I understand that this is what we've been taught. I understand that this is Jewish law. I understand that you have used this for centuries to keep us from really recognizing our place and our position. But they came to Moses and they began to talk to Moses about changing the law. And Moses went to God about it. God spoke to Moses and said, the thing that the daughters of Zelophehad speak is right. And the law was changed from that point on. Ladies and gentlemen, when we look at the New Testament, when we look at the power of the cross and what the cross has done for us, when Jesus died on the cross, he didn't just die for men. He didn't just die for the males in our society. He died for men, women, boys, and girls. And when he died for us, he set us free. We are not bound to dead works anymore. We have a right according to the Word of God. And again, the only thing that I really, really hear my opponent keep coming up with is that scripture that's right here in 1 Corinthians 14:34. And I want to challenge you to study that, to look into it. Yes, regardless of what he says, you have to go back and study the historical background of the scriptures you read. You have to go back and apply biblical hermeneutics and study what happens before and after the scriptures. You have to do that. Yes, it's easy to get up if you haven't done that and just keep on harping on that one point when I think that I have plainly made it clear that that is not what the Bible is saying. And as you look through the Bible and study it all through from the Old Testament throughout the New, it does not constitute that women should not be preachers in the church of God. And as you look throughout the New Testament, when the churches met in the home, the women ministered in the church. And in Corinthians chapter 11, when Paul talked about women praying or prophesying means to preach, they were prophesying in the church. I want to challenge this audience to become thinkers, to open up the Word of God and go and study. Because the Bible says, whom the Lord has set free is free indeed. And when you're free, and you have to know for yourself what God has put in you and what he has called you to do. If God has put a calling on your life, he doesn't mean for us to be bound. He doesn't mean for us to not think and seek him and find out what his will is for our life. Jesus died for the entire human race, not just for men. He died for women. He set us free. And if he didn't do anything for women, then we don't have anything to say. But he set us free just as much as he set the men free. Now, does that mean that we're supposed to be arrogant? No, it doesn't mean that at all. It means that we work cooperatively. It means that we work together. But it does not mean that I do not have a right to preach God's word and to teach from the scriptures. And regardless of what is said today, you've seen it with your own eyes, that a woman has the capability of expounding the word of God. And I hope that God has spoken some things to your heart today. I don't know how much I got, a good 5 minutes. Good. So let me look at here, go back to this scripture. He was saying again that this word servant in Romans chapter 16, he was dealing with this word servant, which is a servant of the church. Again, I want to post my position. When you're dealing with just the word servant, as he went through the scriptures and he pulled out the word servant, I'm not just dealing, as I said in the beginning, with that word servant. Servant has a myriad of meanings. You can't just take one meaning from the English language and apply it to every word there. But if you study that hermeneutically, he's talking about a servant of the church. It says it plainly right there. A servant of the church, which is at Synchrea. But then what he says, wait a minute, if she was just waiting tables, if she was just sweeping the floor or working in the nursery and could have nothing to say in the church, then why would they have to receive her? Why would they have to open their homes and their doors and their churches to her? He's writing to the church at Rome. So he's saying that you receive her in the Lord as becometh saints. He's saying to them that is the godly thing to do. That is the right thing to do, that you help those women that labored with me in the gospel, and that you assist her, wait a minute, in whatsoever business. You mean sweeping the floor? You mean ironing a shirt? You mean just teaching children in a Sunday school? He said, in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she has been a helper of many, and myself also. Even in a Jewish society where the women were treated as second-class citizens. Study your history. Bible coincides with history. It will not history might contradict Bible in some points, but Bible will not contradict it, all right? So he says here, greet Priscilla and Aquila. Paul very randomly, very routinely admonishes women, encourages women, supports women. For him to all of a sudden get over in Corinthians after saying, assist Phoebe, help her, bless Aquila and Priscilla, help those women that labored with me. Dorcas was a woman in the Bible who the Bible says is she's the woman, the only woman that the Bible literally described as a disciple. Didn't say she was a servant, it said she was a disciple. If Paul recognized these women in every other part of Scripture, why would he suddenly get over to 1 Corinthians and say, now y'all sit down, don't say anything. Just be quiet, don't say anything. You have nothing to offer. It is not consistent with Pauline thought. He says she's a servant at the church, of the church, and I want you to receive her in the Lord like saints, like people of God. And what he is saying to the church at Rome is that if you are really counting yourselves to be Christians, if you are really counting yourselves to know God and know who Jesus Christ is, then you will not reject my servant on the basis of race, on the basis of gender, or on the basis of class, because you have an understanding from the Spirit of God that the Spirit of God can speak through whoever he wants to speak through. He can talk to whoever he wants to talk to. So he says here, I want you to receive her in the Lord. Wait a minute. That doesn't sound consistent with 1 Corinthians 14:34. Well, if she's going to the churches to ask to be received, then I need help. I'm going to preach a message over here at this place and I need some help. He said, whatsoever business she had need of, because she has been a helper to me and of many. And then he randomly picks out women. He says, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. Now, in other places in the Bible, it talks about Aquila and Priscilla. It names Aquila being the husband first. But if you study history again, and this is a point that I'm making to support what I'm saying, if you study it again, if you study the history, you'll find that Priscilla was an outstanding teacher of the Word of God, and Scripture backs it up. This man, Apollos, was mighty in the Scriptures, but Priscilla took him to her house, which was the church of the living God at that time, according to Romans chapter 16, and she taught him in the church from the Word of God. Which time again? And he said, time's up, 10 seconds up? You had 10 up. All right. He said, greet Priscilla and Aquila, and he talked about all of the women, and he even named Junia as someone who was notable among the apostles. Now you study for yourself what the apostles did. God bless.